Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have stumbled upon yet another episode, a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the discography and the catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, it's hot. There can be no possible outcome of snow in your part of the area. There's just no way. Am I crazy in thinking that? It's so hot.
No snow, but rain, and a lot of rain. Actually, Mark, this past Monday, I was recording a couple episodes of our new show, Backtracks Theme Music, with John Mariano. And right at the end of the second episode, I'm like, oh, can you hear that? That's thunder. We could kind of hear it coming over the mic a little bit. Half an hour later, 6 inches of rain, flooded basement, flooded town. The streets were underwater, fields were underwater, just a deluge of rain soaked the whole town. But I would still rather have that than snow, so I'm still pretty happy.
Jeez, that's too much rain. But I'll be honest with you, if the weather decided to bless the southern U.S. with a lot of rain, I don't think too many people would complain about it, at least not for the first couple of days, and then it would be nothing but complaints. But we need it. It's hot out there, you guys. Stay inside, stay cool, stay you're gonna stay thirsty, so stay hydrated. That's the best advice I could ever give you, except for one other thing. Listen to more Van Halen, because that's why you come here. That's why you listen to the show. You want to listen to a couple of fans like us talk about a band that we all love, we all enjoy. But right at the start, I'm gonna tell you, we're not rock historians, we're not even biographers of the band. So on occasion, if you think we're wrong about a particular fact, chances are you're right. It is what it is. Okay. I just have to throw that at the top. Corey knows that the sometimes, not all of you out there, but some people are just relentless in coming after us about all the things that we said wrong. Am I wrong about that, Corey?
You're not. But I think a lot of those people have fallen by the wayside now. Now, whenever people correct us on something, they do it quite nice and quite politely. For instance, Kevin Brown, who hosts the Tom Petty Project, he had to come out and let us know that fuck is a backronym and not the origin of the F word. As I kind of incorrectly stated last week on the For Unlawful track, I was just kind of relating a story I heard from Sammy Hagar, who heard it from a retired boxer. So by no means did I think I was correct, but Kevin set the record straight. Thank you very much, Kevin. Whenever you come at us respectfully with some new facts, like the song In and Out, we'll have a little a factoid when we go through the Twitter poll that one of our listeners replied to, just kind of the meaning of the song. You know, if you come at us respectfully like that, we don't mind getting corrected. We admit we're not historians or anything, but if you're going to be a fucktwat, then, you know, we're going to treat you like a fucktwat, or we're just going to ignore you. So fortunately, most of those people have fallen by the wayside.
That's good, because as much as we love saying the word fucktwat, we don't want to do it all the time because we don't need to address the fucktwats, but it is fun to say. Speaking of fun, Corey, you and I, we're not alone. We are once again joined by a guest, aren't we?
Yes, I am very much looking forward to this one. He's one of our brothers from the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. You know him from the Magicians Podcast, the Uriah Heep Show. He's a Deep Dive legend. Scott Haskin is here tonight. Scott, how's it going, my friend?
Doing great, guys. Thank you very much for having me on. I don't know about legend, but I love the word fucktwat. I'm going to start using that every chance I get.
Yes.
That's going to be our hashtag. It'd be the Fucktwats podcast. It depends how you feel about your eye heap that week, I suppose. But this is actually the second time I've recorded with Scott. He did an episode of the Aerosmith show. It just hasn't come out yet. It'll be actually out in 2 weeks. Scott picked some songs for the Dive, which Mark has done as well. We rolled it, had a great song, and had a great time. So this is the first time Scott's actually on the air on one of my podcasts. And we're very excited to have him here tonight because, by his own admission, maybe not the biggest Van Halen fan.
I am the most medium Van Halen fan.
So whatever we spin, you had mentioned, Scott, you're kind of up for anything, hoping for something good, but something bad might be kind of fun too.
Sure. Yeah. I just, you know, through your show, I've started to appreciate this band in a way that I never would have before. I've never really just clicked with their music. So I'm going to be interested to hear what we got today.
Awesome. And as you're doing with Van Halen through our show, I'm doing through your show and Uriah Heep. Maybe tell us a little bit about the Magicians podcast.
So right now we're on hiatus until the new album comes out. It's been recorded. We're just waiting. I've covered all 24 of their currently released studio albums, plus one live album and a pre-Uriah Heep album when they were the band Spice, doing one song per show. Just digging into each one and really appreciating everything that the band has given us over the last 52 years.
I tell you, it's a great show, folks. And you're really going to appreciate Uriah Heep a lot more when you start listening to it. And Scott is a very easy listen. I highly recommend this show. Please go check it out. As you should, all the shows on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. You can go to deepdivepodcastnetwork.com and catch up on all those shows. And we may have a couple of new ones. I don't want to announce it here because the official announcements haven't come, but a lot of exciting chatter in the Deep Dive Twitter chat today about some potential new shows that I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah, I feel like I'm adding one every day to my website.
Oh, it's true, but it's like Corey is adding shows to his own repertoire almost every week, it seems.
You like it, absolutely.
Keeps on growing. But that's great because that's what we enjoy doing. We also enjoy hearing the good interactions. Well, good, bad, or mediocre, whichever. We enjoy the interactions on social media. You guys have been very, very active on our polls, especially, and we appreciate that. So, Corey, if you will, so last week we covered, or the last episode rather, we covered In and Out. And we had our special guest, Yonatan, on, and everything seemed to be, we personally thought that show was pretty good. We thought that song was what dreams are made of. So I ask you, if you could, what do the people say about In-N-Out?
Well, I tell you what, the poll was a lot closer than actually I was anticipating. Out of 53 votes, 69.8% what dreams are made of, 30.2% this dream is over. So a little more hate for this song than I was anticipating. I thought it was a banger off that record. And from the replies, people are telling me that every song on that album is a classic and that I'm wrong for hating songs like Spanked. But still, 30% of the people don't agree and they think the dream is over. I found that kind of interesting.
I find that appalling, quite appalling. And I just, you know, and so much of me wants to go to my usual excuse of blaming the Cult of Mariano, but I got to be honest with you, I think it's out of Mariano's hands at this point. I think even John's like, he knows when not to be contrary. He's, you know, it is what it is. So I don't know. You guys, all of you out there listening, help me out. Help me figure this out. Well, what do they say in the comments? Can we provide any context to the way the votes were swung?
Absolutely. And the first comment actually was from said John Mariano, who just said, I have voted, and then included a GIF of Mariano Rivera giving a thumbs up, which I take to mean that John was positive on that song. So good for him.
I hope that's what that means.
Here's a negative one. It comes from Sean Slade. He says, the hamburger joint, the dream is overrated. So he wasn't a fan of that song or the hamburger joint, apparently. We don't have those in Canada, so I can't comment on In-N-Out. But Scott, your neck of the woods, I'm pretty sure, has some In-N-Out burgers, don't they?
About every 5 feet, yeah.
There you go. Let's see. Will Leonard says, one of my faves, especially live. And you can catch that song live on the album Live Right Here, Right Now. Kevin from the Tom Petty Project says, haven't even listened to the episode yet, and it's a huge Dreams Are Made Of for me. So he's a big fan of this song and this album. Airhead 3 says, easily my least favorite song on For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, and still a clear What Dreams Are Made Of. Good song and great album. Yes, Corey Morissette, you're wrong about Spanked. Well, I promise I will keep an open mind when we spin Spanked. But right now, I think you're out to lunch, my friend. Spanked is pretty awful. Friend of the show, Tom Armbruster, says, firmly in the good but not a favorite camp. Maybe singing it live was a bit rough on Sammy, which is why they didn't play it very often. That's a potential. Also, haven't been able to stop thinking about the Back in Black Drop Dead Legs comparison all day. That was from the Drop Dead Legs show. We had a fan say it's the swing version of Back in Black. And once you hear that, that's all you hear. He's absolutely,
you can't unhear it. It's exactly. Absolutely true.
Yeah. Jonathan B. Todd says that Ted Templeman came back to help with vocals because Andy Johns was drinking and erased the Sammy vocal take. Andy was not happy to work with Ted. So I knew Sammy had real problems with Andy Johns, and I guess erasing an entire vocal take would do that for a relationship. So Jonathan also went out and got himself a fancy And the Podcast Will Rock mug from our Tee Public store. Thank you very much for that. He says, love the use of the wah in this tune. Cheers, mate. And then Tom R. Brewster asked him, what's the capacity of that beverage delivery system? To which Jonathan replied, evidently it will fit an entire bottle of Jameson. And then he got a little a little heavy on the ends because he was a little drunk at that point.
Finally, a Jameson drinker, I salute him.
There you go. Finally, Gene Hickey says, what Tom said, good but not a favorite. Top tier drums on this for sure, though. There you have it. Those are the comments on In-N-Out 69.8%, What Dreams Are Made Of.
It's interesting results, man. I'm just so confused because sometimes when we put out an episode and the song is a banger for us, we just naturally assume everybody else is going to agree because we have like-minded takes and perspectives on how we feel about the song, which is why we usually give it the ratings when we give it. But it's always a surprise to see how the poll votes in songs like these. I'm not sure. Scott, are you familiar with the song In-N-Out? And if you are, is it for you What Dreams Are Made Of, or is it over?
I have not heard that one yet. As we are recording, I think the last episode that came out was Drop Dead Legs. So I have not heard that episode just yet. But I have to wonder, do the polls seem to swing with who the singer is? Does that affect whether people like the song or not?
That's interesting. We'd have to maybe go back and cross-reference that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very good question.
Because people are really strong in their camp of which version of Van Halen they're into. Because you can't just be open-minded, right? And just say, well, this is who this band was at this time. I get that a lot with Uriah Heep too. I would be curious to know if that might be affecting people who are just going to vote everything against Sammy Hagar if they're a David Lee Roth fan, for example.
That's interesting because I think our listenership is pretty split down the middle. We got a lot of Sammy love and a lot of Dave love. And Mark and I are kind of interesting that we love them both. I lean a little more Dave and he leans a little more Sammy, but we love both eras. And we usually get shit on by one camp or another, depending on how we vote on a song. Sure. That would be interesting to go back and look. I'm going to make that my mission in the coming weeks. Thank you, Scott, for that suggestion.
Well, you needed another challenge in your day.
I don't have enough going on. Absolutely not.
Exactly. Lazy.
He's the busiest man in our show biz. That's how it is. Corey Morissette, everybody. Give him a raise.
That's right. I deserve one. And you know what else? I wanted to mention one more comment about In-N-Out from a listener of ours. He's awesome. He always chimes in. Bruins fan 71. He said In-N-Out, because we talked about the meaning of In-N-Out. You would think it's a sexual song. It's actually about money. I remember talking with that with John.
Yeah.
And right. In-N-Out, it was actually about a friend of Sammy's whose son had passed away and he had no insurance. And he told Sammy it cost as much for his birth as it did for his funeral. Hence the lyrics. They got you coming in. They got you going out. Same amount. In and out. So that's kind of
wow. Okay. Yeah. So in a way it is money's involved, but it had a much more kind of deeper personal meaning. So yes. Wow, I really like that.
Yeah. So that's it on In and Out. What do you say, Mark? We got this beautiful wheel in front of us here. We got 89 tracks currently still on it. So we're about a third of the way through. I gotta tell you, Scott, lately we've had some pretty amazing things happen with the wheel. We had Eric Senich from the Van Halen News Desk was on the show and actually called his shot. He said, I want to hear Cabo Wabo, and then we spun it. So that was pretty amazing. And then last week, of course, we recorded on the 31st anniversary of For Unlawful, and it was our 31st show, and we spun a song from that album. So the wheel's kind of working in a magical way right now. So if you had a particular song or album you wanted to hear, odds are pretty decent we might get it tonight.
All right, that being the case, and the few Van Halen songs I actually know, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to pick Pretty Woman.
Oh, nice.
That would be a really fun one to do. I'm not going to lie.
And we haven't had a ton from Diver Down either. So that would be a great album to pull from too. Yeah. Mark, what are you in the mood for tonight?
I'm in the mood for a Diamond Dave song. That is it. Yes. That's I know you're all shocked. You're all shocked. I'm the Sammy guy, but I agree. I really think Pretty Woman would be good. I think Ain't Talking About Love would be great. I would like to hear just a good solid Sammy tune, or I'm sorry, Dave tune. See, it's ingrained in my brain. I can't help it. But Diamond Dave, I want a Diamond Dave era tune, a really good rocking one. That's what I would like. Doesn't matter what album. How about you, Corey?
Kind of the same boat. I'm kind of hoping for a deeper cut for Scott because he's probably heard all the hits. I want a really classic Diamond Dave deep cut, like Hear About It Later or something like that, or something from Van Halen that maybe not everybody knows, right? That's kind of what I'm in the mood for tonight. So.
Right. Well, fair enough.
All right. What do you say, Mark? Should we get this thing spinning?
Well, tell Sammy to hit it and spin it.
Here we go.
Coming down to it's gonna be OU812. Feels so good. So it's not a Dave tune, it's a Sammy tune. But Mark, I got a feeling you're a fan of this one.
I have a feeling you're correct.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your recollections of a Feels So Good and OU812, Mark?
This is just honestly, the earliest memory I have from a lot of songs from this album was this is the one, or at least this was one that I remember hearing frequently when I was a kid. My usual musical upbringing in terms of classic rock or rock music of yesterday era stems from car trips taken and my parents just having it on a classic rock radio station or something of that nature. And radio stations love playing Van Halen. It doesn't matter what station, as long as there is rock as a genre to be played, Van Halen is more than likely going to hit the airwaves on that station. So I remember hearing a lot of Van Halen that way. But if I really recall, I believe my mom or my dad had a tape of OU8 and, that one was kind of the only Van Halen album they owned. I guess they just didn't feel like buying any others, but that one they had. And so I heard that one in sort of the car cassettes. Cassettes were, I'm not going to explain it to the younger audience what cassette tapes were, but it was a tape. It wasn't a CD. That one was in rotation along with a lot of other wonderful groups like, Chicago or Journey.
I gotcha. Scott, have you heard a lot from OU812?
I don't believe so. But I will say it was very common around that time for people to just buy one or two albums by a band. Like they might like a hit song and they would get the album so they could have that, because that was why single cassettes started coming out, the very short-lived, where you would get, you know, a front and a B-side, like a 45, only in a cassette version. So that was very common to have that, or have LPs, you know, a huge collection, but one or two by each band. But this song I am not familiar with, so I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Well, OU812, I'm going to come right out and say it's probably my least favorite. Maybe Balance in there too, but my least favorite Sammy album. There's some good stuff on here, but this is kind of the lighter pop friendlier Van Halen. Not a lot of guitars on this album. There's a lot of synths, things like that. Mm-hmm. Feel So Good was the third song written for OU812 way back in the day. It was a single, if I remember correctly. This album was released in 1988. I believe the fourth single came out in 1989. It's the sixth track on the album, the second on side B for all you vinyl lovers. And you're going to get a lot of good harmonies in this song, and Sammy kind of doing what Sammy does best. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, which is you know, being the vocal god that he is. And, you know, if I have to die on that hill somewhat alone, I'll do it. But yeah, no, I'll give it to you, though. This is not by any stretch my favorite song on the album. Not at all. Because, I mean, you take a look at what is on this album, and there's a lot of hits, or there's quite a few. In fact, there's one that we did not that long ago that you mentioned, the aforementioned Cabo Wabo. Enough said, am I right? Because Cabo Wabo slaps, as the kids say. Yeah, I think Feel So Good is not their best track, but it's a good track. And I'll let the listener and the first timer, like Scott, let them make the judgment call on it.
Sounds good. What do you say? Let's spin a little Feel So Good from OU812. It seems like every song from this era starts off with a synthesizer, doesn't it, Mark?
It does. I was wondering if it was going to be you or me to stop the song to mention the intro. The intro almost sounds like something that maybe, what's his name that did Fly Like an Eagle?
Steve Miller?
Steve Miller. That's okay. Yeah. It like sounded like something from like that era of Steve Miller or something of that nature. But also, if you take a look back at a lot of, as you mentioned, a lot of Sammy tunes, especially for Van Halen, they do kind of start off with that weird little synthy quality to it. I mean, listen to When It's Love, listen to Why Can't This Be Love, you know, things of that sort. They all have kind of a similar synth intro vibe.
What did you think right off the hot, Scott, or right off the hop there, Scott? Imagine coming on a Van Halen podcast, expecting a Van Halen rock song. And you got synthesizers for the first 20 seconds.
Well, if I was in the car and this came on, I would not have guessed it was Van Halen until I heard Sammy kick in. And that at that point, I would have known immediately because it's such a signature sound. I might actually know the song. I'll be curious as it goes further. I think it's a cool intro. It definitely warms up to, you know, to the listener, saying, you know, here's where we're going. It's an interesting tonality. I love what the percussion's doing. The synth is really kind of standard, I think, for this era. It doesn't really strike me as anything particularly interesting, but it does have a good feel to it.
Awesome. All right, let's keep it rocking. It's almost criminal to have Eddie Van Halen guitar that low in the mix, isn't it? Like, you could barely hear the rhythm in there, right?
It's true.
I was just thinking about how subtle his guitar sounds. And since they're really known as a guitar band, it really feels kind of weird.
Yeah, if I have Eddie Van Halen in my band, Subtle guitars is not one thing I'm dialing up for any track.
Nobody puts Baby in a corner.
Exactly.
I'm only speculating here, but is it possible that maybe Eddie felt real strongly about making sure the keys were at the forefront of this track?
Maybe. We know he was big on synths. You know, that was one of the big things with him and Dave, right? Dave wanted more guitar, and Eddie wanted to experiment with different instruments, which is fine and dandy. So, yeah, you know, he's stretching out a little bit, of course. There's a little back and forth with Dave in this era, right? Dave, of course, came out with his solo album, Eat Him and Smile. And then the title of this album is a direct response to that with OU812, you know, kind of a little dig at Dave there. So, yeah, who knows? It's just a little surprising to hear that nice rhythm guitar just so low and so back in the mix.
To Mark's point, I would say, from what I know of the band, Eddie pretty much had control over, you know, the overall decisions of the band. I can't imagine, maybe drug periods aside, or certain circumstances aside, I can't imagine that he would say, I really want to not care what goes on with this. I don't think much got released without his final stamp on it saying, okay, this is good enough to be put out. So I would have to say that it was probably a decision on his part to make the guitars a little more subtle, at least in this part.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Mark, you want to talk about the vocals there a little bit? I know we talk about Sammy being the better vocalist, and I think Sammy Hagar is maybe top 10 rock vocalists of all time. David Lee Roth wouldn't make that list. He's top 10 frontmen of all time. But, you know, even Sammy on those verses, it just sounds just really nice and even and pleasant. And now he's really going to get to kind of open up a little bit on the bridge and on the chorus here. But Sammy Hagar as a singer, there aren't a lot better, are there?
Not a lot. Especially of this era where everybody was trying to sound like everybody, but very few and far between if you could have your own unique style and stand out. I think Sammy Hagar definitely stands out. He's doing a really nice thing here in the verse, a legato, if you will, where he just sounds like he's singing very evenly. He's not taking like a ton of breaks, let a little stagnant breathing, anything like that. It's just like flowing with each phrase. Right before, you know, of course, at some point he's just going to cut loose, and he's still keeping it up in his, Sammy's has a really good register, and he has good dynamics. So he's keeping it in the range that, you know, but he's not straining. He's not going there just yet, but yeah, it's very pleasant. As you said, very, very nice and connected. I like it.
How about you, Scott?
I think it's really interesting. I was familiar with Sammy Hagar back in the early part of the 80s when he did like Three Lock Box and Your Love Is Driving Me Crazy. And it's weird for me to think it's the same guy, because he just has such a different feel to his style with Van Halen than he did on his own. I think he sounds good. I think his singing is nice and smooth. I like the sound of his voice. He's got a very unique and identifiable signature sound. It's weird though. The song, it's like, it's an 80s song without being an 80s song. It has the feel of it, but it also doesn't at the same time.
And that's a good point. I was looking at some of the, you know, where music was in 1988. Of course, glam metal or hair metal, if you will, was on the rise around that time, right? You know, AC/DC had Blow Up Your Video, Anthrax had an album out, but it was bands like Winger and Dokken were kind of ruling the airwaves around that time, GNR, that kind of thing. So while everyone was kind of getting more glam metal, Van Halen kind of went the opposite direction, right? They went more pop orientated. And it seemed to work for him, because OU812 was a pretty big hit for him. I think it went, 4 times platinum. This song actually hit the top 40, if I remember correctly. It was right around number 35 or something. So just kind of interesting when, you know, the Guns N' Roses, Aerosmith had a big album around this time. Def Leppard with Hysteria was the year before. They're all heading one direction. Van Halen seems like they're kind of going a different route.
Maybe they realized early on how to, or maybe they thought how to reach a broader audience is to expand what we do as a band and the content of what we're singing about, because with the departure of Dave and with the entrance of Sammy, you get, it just completely changes the vibe of the band. And that's not a bad thing. It just means they're growing, they're evolving, because that's where this band needed to go. Or it's simpler than that, Corey. The boys in Van Halen simply didn't want to put on as much makeup as all the glam metal guys. That's time consuming.
It is time consuming. Get your hair that big, like, you know, 2-3 cans of hairspray to tease your hair up that much. Yeah, I hear you.
Who's got the time? You know, it's like, yeah, it's a whole thing.
Did you know Sammy was so into sailing and nautical terms, Mark?
I would say that at this point, the yacht rock movement was becoming more prominent. So, you know, why not? Why not sing a little bit about sailing and hitting the seas and pretending you're on a boat? Because everyone wants to pretend they're on a boat, especially when the weather's hot, and it's hot out there for you. He is pretending he's on a yacht. He is having a good time. It feels so good to just be chilling, and you get some a nice little groove of a tune like what's happening here. It's not, I would not put this song on a yacht rock playlist because I don't think it counts. But if I were to put Van Halen on a yacht, I could imagine that they'd want to hear a song of similar, you know, similar vibes as this one, not just because they wrote it. But yeah, that's what I think this is about. It's about Sammy, you know, he's feeling good and he's on the beach. That's a precursor to, you know, where he would go later.
I prefer to picture him on the prow of a boat as it's going down, singing You Feel So Good. But yeah, this song does very much fit on the same album as Cabo Wabo. Scott, were you getting anything lyrically from this? I always kind of make fun of Sammy as a lyricist. He's certainly not on par with David Lee Roth. And here's kind of just another example.
Yeah, I can't say I'm big on the actual words of the song, but I like the way they're sung, if that makes sense. I don't like the backing vocals. Like, the oohs aren't as appealing to me. I like the other backing vocals, but just those oohs seem like they're a little too loud, a little too harsh coming in, a little too forced for me. I do like the swing feel of the drums. I think that that really gives the song a good sense of movement. If he had just played straightforward, I don't think the song would be as good.
Well, that's a very good call, and a good call in the mix too. There's actually a quote from Eddie Van Halen when they asked him about this record not being mixed as well as he would have liked, and his exact quote was, "Sonically, it was shit." So, wow. Yeah, that kind of plays in. Yeah, you know, the rhythm was way too low originally. The ooze, like you mentioned, a little too hot. So, Don Landy produced this record again, and Eddie, by the sounds of it, wasn't a huge fan of the mix of this one.
Well, it doesn't. Well, that rhythm section's sound
big though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound rich and full like a lot of their songs do. I mean, with the synths, a good balance of synth and guitar, this album should really sound, or this song should really sound much bigger than it does. I like the individual parts, but the synth is kind of wearing on me a little bit because it's just so, you know, you got to break that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, feels so good.
All right, Mark, your thoughts on the solo section there?
Look, no matter how you feel about the song, can we all agree that solo just absolutely cooks? Like, he almost did it. It's almost like Eddie wanted to play the solo as loud and as high-pitched as possible, knowing full well that his guitar was mixed way, way low. Even then he knew. So he's like, all right, fine. Well, I'm going to give you just this loud-ass solo so you have no choice but to catch me. You can't turn me any lower other than just turning it off, and that just won't stand. So Eddie just gives you a rip roaring solo in this very chill kind of atmosphere, yacht rocky type of Van Halen tune, and Eddie just lets loose almost in spite of it all. That's my takeaway from it.
I think it was a great solo. I liked that it really cut through. Obviously, you know, being in a different range of frequencies than the rest of the music helped with that volume issue, but I thought it was a good solo. I think that it's nice that he stayed in a small range of notes for that whole time and really made it work instead of just shredding all over the guitar and saying, all right, this is how I'm going to get through. I thought it was very tasteful.
And that's one thing you'll notice from Eddie Van Halen solos. He doesn't play notes for the sake of playing notes. Most of his solos are very much in line with the song. And this is another one. I agree with you guys wholeheartedly. I can't say one way or another if the song is really working for me, but the solo really did work for me. I was a big fan of that. All right. Feels so good from OU812. Before we vote, let's get some final comments. Scott, what'd you think about our track here this week?
I like that he wants her to make him feel good, but he's only going to make her feel nice. That's all you get.
And you're lucky you're getting that.
Yeah. I just get what you get and be happy. Yeah, it's an okay track. If it were to come on the radio, like if I were in the car and it would come on, I would probably listen through the guitar solo and then say that's about enough. It's a very repetitive song. It's I don't mind a simple song, but there's just not much to it. I thought the that section before the guitar solo was a little bit weird. It just kind of went nowhere. Yeah. It was a neat idea. I liked that there was something different, but then it just kind of went nowhere. And then Eddie came in and saved it. So decent track. Yeah, not too bad. Not anything I would say is just from the songs I know, far from their best.
Mark, what are you thinking?
I have notes. I have thoughts, but I'm going to save it for the vote.
Okay. Sounds good. So, Scott, how this works is when we throw it to you, you're going to give me a thumbs up if this is what dreams are made of, or are you going to give me a thumbs down if this dream is over? Should we start with Scott on this, Mark?
Sure. So, Scott, can you tell us, was this song from OU8112 Feel So Good What Dreams Are Made Of, or for you, was the dream over?
Like I said, I thought it was a little monotonous with the synthesizer. I would have liked a little more to the song. The production was definitely not great, and they usually get a pretty good studio sound. So, and lyrically, it just, you know, it's just another love song. It's pretty cliche.
One vote is in, Mark.
Mm-hmm. So then I have to throw it to my co-host, Corey, you. Mm-hmm. How did you indeed feel so good? Or was it just all a bad dream?
I can't. This is not a song I typically enjoy. If I'm listening to OU812, this is one I skip. It's not horrible. I certainly didn't hate it. I'm with Scott. I thought the guitar solo was really great. But the instrumental section beforehand was a little weird. Sammy sounds great. I thought the vocally was amazing. The mix is way off for me, which is an issue I have with a few songs actually on this album. So to me, it was close. I was kind of wavering back and forth kind of the whole time. But ultimately, I can't give this one a pass. I would say the dream is over. So that's two. On the negative side, Mark, now it's up to you, my friend. Is this what dreams are made of? Or for you, is this dream over?
So now I have to be the guy. If you're surprised, well, me too. But here's the thing. Here are my thoughts here. There's a lot of good that can be pointed out. And my two co-hosts today have already pointed them out. Sammy does sound great. I'm not taking anything away from that. The rhythm section, they're turned way up. So you can hear Alex and Michael in full force, and they're doing their job. Michael especially is doing his job. I know we wax poetic about Michael a lot on this show, but it's well deserved. The composition of the song is just okay. The lyrics, I don't hate it as much as these other two guys aren't so keen on it, but they are just okay. So I mean, but there's a lot to take from it, and this song just happens to be on a very what I think is a solid Van Halen album, albeit different. But unfortunately, what it boils down to, and this may be a hot take, but I'm going to say it. Feels So Good is just a lamer version of Why Can't This Be Love? There are a lot of similarities. If you put the tracks side by side, a lot of things Sammy is doing vocally on this track, he does exactly the same in Why Can't This Be Love? Even the intro is somewhat comparable, even the intro. And I know I said it like, well, a lot of times you'll get some synth intros that seem weird, but ultimately it rocks. Well, this one, I don't think it necessarily doesn't rock, but it doesn't rock in the way that it should, because they already did the song. It's called Why Can't This Be Love? And unfortunately, Feel So Good seems like the demo version that wasn't quite there. They had to restructure the song entirely, and they made it better. But then they decided, you know what? We still have that scrapped demo. Why don't we just throw it on this album? Yeah, why not? Okay. Hey, Sammy, re-sing it. Okay. And there you go. You got Feel So Good. At least that's the impression I get. So unfortunately, on top of that, the mix is terrible. Like I said, I'm not crazy about a lot of other ways the song is formulated. I thought perhaps the solo could save it. I evidently don't have as fond of memories of the song as I thought I did. I think maybe I'm just thinking of the album itself. But oftentimes, a terrible song has been saved by Eddie's solo. I thought it was going to happen, but I could not get past the whole, this is just, why can't this be love but worse factor of it all. So ultimately, that is why this song is the dream is over if it feels so good for me.
No.
Oh, I know. I can't believe it either. Why would I ever poo-poo a Sammy song? But look, no one's perfect.
I can't wait for the OU812 apologists to come out in droves and just rake us over the coals for being unanimous in the dream is over. And I dare say for all of us, it wasn't a definitive, this dream is over. Like, it's everything Scott said. It's repetitive. The mix isn't great. There's still good stuff here. But when you compare it to even other songs on this album, we covered AFU, great song. Cabo Wabo is a great song. When It's Love is for this genre, Van Halen, When It's Love is, you know, one of the top ones of all time, right? Finish What You Started. Absolutely. Yeah. Black and Blue, Sucker in a Three Piece. There's some great stuff on this record. This was always just kind of my, you know, not one that I gravitated to. And I was hoping heading into that, I'm like, well, you know, we'll listen to this with an open mind and maybe I'll put it back in the rotation. But just didn't work out for me.
You know, another thing I noticed is that when they switch to the organ, it's so far back in the mix, it has no power to it. And I think that really also just kills the momentum of the song.
Yes, no, that's a great point. But very powerless for a power ballad, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It's almost like the record company said, you guys need one more radio single, so just go knock something out.
Yeah, it very much felt like that. And ironically, it was the last single released from the album back in January of 1989.
Hmm. Yeah. But even so, we must reiterate, didn't hate the song, didn't think the song was terrible, but it just didn't work for us today. Didn't work in terms of do we consider the song a banger? We unanimously decided, no, we do not. But we do want to hear what you guys think. So be sure to check out the poll on Twitter at Podcast Will Rock and tell us if we're absolutely just crazy or if we're onto something. And feel free to let me know how wrong I was about calling this song the weaker version of Why Can't This Be Love?
And for calling it Yacht Rock. I can't wait for people to leap down your throat for calling it Yacht Rock.
Look, in some circles, they consider Journey Yacht Rock, and I'll never understand that. So if someone wants to go ahead and try and argue that case, then I'll go ahead and argue this one. We'll have a meaningless debate.
There you go.
If it's been featured in some sort of Spring Fever beach movie, then you know, it does have that feel to it for sure.
It does. Yeah, it really feels like it would be like an 80s comedy. Mm-hmm.
If you listen close, you can hear background vocals from Michael McDonald, and that is epitome yacht rock, too.
That is the Webster's Dictionary definition of yacht rock, yes.
Yes.
Of course, Michael McDonald, of course, co-wrote I'll Wait from 1984, so he does have a Van Halen connection.
There you go.
Well, see, there you go. They're just like, yo, Mikey, sing on this real quick. Okay.
So good.
I assume Michael McDonald talks that way because he sings that way. And that's how that works.
We'll find out on our Doobie Brothers podcast, which I'm sure is coming.
You make a joke, but I would be so excited for that.
If anyone wants to co-host a Doobie Brothers podcast with Mark Kammeyer, please let him know. And where can they find you on the interweb to let you know, Mark, that they want to do that show with you?
For inquiries about the Doobie Brothers podcast, aka just a straight up yacht rock podcast, let's go ahead and just get it out of the way and do that because there's so much to explore. Come at me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. You can send me all of the feedback, all of the... Actually, I haven't been getting a lot of hate recently, so that's nice. So I appreciate that, you guys. I like it when we have civil conversations. It's appreciative. So find us there. Corey, where can the good people find you if they want to yell at you about how much I'm screwing up? And where can they find the shows?
Well, they can find the show www.podcastwillrock.com. You can catch all of our old episodes there. We got merch for sale. Like I said, a good friend Jonathan went and bought himself a killer looking mug. We just sold some stickers. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that 75 cents, but I'm sure I'll roll it back into the production of the show. You can find the show at PodcastWillRock on Twitter. You can also find me at CD Morset on Twitter. And you can find me hosting two other podcasts. The first one, Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, where we break down the entire Aerosmith catalog in 2 weeks, featuring one Scott Haskin from the Magicians podcast. He's on there. He picked a song. We had a lot of fun. The other one is Backtracks Theme Music. We just launched it this week. It was a Corey pick, and I picked one of my favorite songs from one of my favorite movies, The Commitments, Mustang Sally. So check that one out wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, you can find us as part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, which also features our special guest this week, Scott Haskin. Scott, tell us about your show one more time.
So Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast, 306 episodes, I think, are done awaiting the new album. And every Uriah Heep song they ever made has been covered.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah, kudos to you on keeping that consistent. 300 episodes is nothing to scoff at. We are not even close. We've been making some headway here, but we still got a ways to go. We won't hit 300 songs for Van Halen, I don't believe, unless Corey talks me into adding the solo stuff from Sammy and Dave. Then
I'm trying, maybe. Folks. I'm trying to talk him into it. I want to talk some Eat 'Em and Smile. I want to talk some Skyscraper, even some extreme stuff and some Sammy stuff. Let's get Sammy in the circle on there. Let's cover some of their stuff. And of course, Wolfgang, who put out one of Mark and I's favorite albums in the past like 5 years. The Mammoth WVH album is phenomenal. So I'd love to talk about that stuff with you, Mark.
I mean, well, when you put it that way, yeah. So be on the lookout. I'm sure it's on the way. But before we get to any of that, we still have to make our way through the catalog of Van Halen, because that's what the show is about. That's why you come in. That's why you say hello and say your kind words. And every once in a while, you say a bad word. But it's okay. We accept it. On behalf of Corey and myself, thank you, Scott, for being on the show. This was a very fun time. Come back anytime you want to be on the show, anytime you want to talk Van Halen, learn a new track, if you will, expand your knowledge. That's what we're here for. So thank you.
I'd love to. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. And we will have if you want to be a guest on the show, please hit us up. We've had fans of the show be guests before. We're not slowing down anytime soon. So be sure to let us know how you feel. Let us know how we're doing. And that's it. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.